And with that, folks, the 2017 season for Orlando City is over. What a way to bow out. Hello, everybody, and welcome in. You're listening to the Fourth Official's post-game show for the Lions' 6-1 loss to the Philadelphia Union on Sunday afternoon. Rough night for the Lions out at Talon Energy Stadium in Pennsylvania. Just bad from the very beginning. They let up 2 goals within the first 6 minutes, 4 in the first half. Dom Dwyer pulled one back late, but it was nowhere near enough as the Lions bow out in the season. They go out pretty much the way that perfect way to look at this season on a whole. Ilsanio opened up the scoring in the 3rd minute, blasting a shot from Earl Edwards Jr., who was in goal tonight. MLS debut for him. 3 minutes later, Fabrice Jean Picault doubled the lead. Ilsanio floated the ball in the box from the right side, and Picault was there to beat Scott Sutter and head it home. CJ Sapong, he grabbed 2 goals on the night. First one in the 26th minute when McCall boot blasted Seb Hines down the right side, beating him to the box before putting a pass back into the middle. Sapong knocked it in to make it a 3-0 game at that time. And then things just continued to spiral out of hand not too long after that. In the 38th, it was McCall slipping one through on past Earl to make it 4-0. And Ilsanio and Sapong both added their 2nd goals of the night. In the second half, rough night for the Lions. They didn't look good offensively. They looked even worse defensively. I'm joined today by Ty Rothschild. He is the Paramore pundit, as you may know him on Twitter. Ty, boy, oh boy. I mean, rough game. What are your thoughts on the match?
Oh, I mean, I think it's fair to say that this was Orlando City staying in character to finish the season. We could get into the nitty-gritty of what happened on the pitch tonight, Orlando City going out with the 4-3-3 tonight. But what concerns me the most about this game is kind of what we've been seeing, especially since towards the end of the summer. You know, you have games that are important, especially this last game tonight. This was a final chance for the players on the pitch to show not only the coaching staff, but the fan base in general, to next season. Give them a chance to see what the players on the pitch can do to earn a position going into next year. And the team just completely laid another egg. I mean, it was an extremely low energy match. There was very, very little positive to take out of the entire match. And I think that is something very concerning going into next season.
Yeah, and there was a joke on Twitter. It was a decision day and the Lions decided not to show up. A lot of missing names from the lineup. Chite, 6 changes from that game against the Columbus Crew last week. No Kyle Lahren, and he was out again with his hip flexor injury. Will Johnson was suspended. Kaká obviously bowed out of the season last week. Jonathan Spector sat this one out. No particular reason, just Jason Christ wanting to get some opportunities to some other guys. And then Joe Bendick, a last-minute scratch or a last-minute ruled out concussion protocol. He was, I guess, hit in the head with a ball at training on Saturday. Earl Edwards Jr. got his first career MLS start with the Lions. He's been with this club for 3 years. They drafted him in 2015. I got to say, you know, obviously the defense put him in a lot of tough spots, but if you're Earl, man, what a debut to forget, huh?
I'm telling you. You know, and obviously you can blame on Earl Edwards tonight for any of this. The counterattack from Philadelphia was obviously very good tonight. What I noticed from Orlando City in terms of defense on that counter is we were playing 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1 maybe, depending on how you look at it. And we had our fullbacks very far forward. You know, PC and Sutter on the right, they were playing forward to try to help with the attack. But when the counterattack happened, Powers and even Giles Barnes, some points, weren't tracking back far enough to help on the defense. And I mean, I kind of understand that they're more attacking minded midfielders. However, when that circumstance happened on the counter and you have your fullback so far forward, what you're leaving is Seb Hines, who is obviously not very quick. I mean, he's one of the slower center backs we have, next to Pereira, having to deal with a full counter attack. And when you have a player with the speed of Picault, it's well a lot, and we saw that tonight, and that's how they scored a lot of their goals, was just on a very precise counterattack. And I don't think that the lineup tactics that Jason Christ put out tonight was really going to put Orlando City in the best position to win the match. Now, on the other hand, losing this match isn't something that concerned me. I understand that other players, even though, you know, Joe Bendick was out, but just for Earl Edwards, for example, they need to be able to get on the pitch a little bit to show what they have. Vic there on the left side who could kind of show what they have and kind of earn their position going into the next season. Able to impress tonight with how everything lined up.
Yeah, and you know, it was very much of a B team out there, and they just the defense didn't show up. Like you said, Seb Hines had a rough game. PC, especially in that first half, got beat a couple of times badly. Both of those guys came off at halftime. Tommy Redding and Donnie Toya came on for them at the beginning of the second half. So Orlando City, they finished 10th in the Eastern Conference this season on 39 points. That's actually 2 points less than they had last year. They finished at the end of the day 11 points out of a playoff spot behind the New York Red Bulls. 2 wins in their last 15 games to close out the year and just 1 goal in the month of October across 3 games. That was Dom Dwyer today. He scored in the 72nd minute. I thought, you know, maybe of all the players, Dom probably had the best game out there. Five shots, 4 on target. What'd you think of the day that Dom had?
You know, I can agree with that. I mean, especially, you know, you give up 2 goals in the first 6 minutes, you go down 4-0, 5-0 ultimately, and it's very easy on the other side of the pitch to, you know, I don't want to say give up, but not really try as hard as you can to score goals and get back in. But I think Dom, the match, I think he kept playing. He, like you said, he had 4 shots on goal. He was able to find spacing. He probably could have had another 2 or 3. I mean, he could have had for him. He had a header, I believe, in the first half that the sun got in his eyes, but he could have scored there. And then there were a few shots on target that obviously could have been goals. So I was really impressed with Dom's performance tonight, and I think he is going to obviously be a key player going into next season. So anything happened tonight, I have no bad takeaways from Dom Dwyer.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he had some opportunities there. Look, you know, he had a couple of tough breaks, a couple of bad touches. He has that one moment in the 9th minute. Will Powers heads a ball back in towards a goal, and he's there, and he gets his head on it, but it's right, you know, right into Andre Blake, who's able to save it. Another moment late in the match, he gets the ball prime spot right in the middle of the box, but it's a bad touch that gets away from him, and ultimately he's not able to get that one as well. You know, he's one of those guys that you go out there and every week it's like he's putting in that heart and that effort, and you just don't see that necessarily from a lot of the other guys on the pitch. But yeah, I mean, there's really not a lot of takeaways from this match from Orlando City's perspective on the whole, you know. So they finish the year, they grab 18 points in their first 7 games, 21 points in their final 27 games. Ty, for you, you know, as the season is closed now, when you look back on it, I guess, where does it meet up with your expectations as far as where you saw this club being this year? Because, I mean, a lot of people didn't expect them to be in the playoffs. A lot of people kind of saw them being right where they are. How do you see that?
You know, it... Obviously, I mean, looking back at the season as a whole, I am disappointed. You could say that, yeah, going into the season, maybe the playoffs could have been a little bit of a stretch. To finish where we did in the standings, I do find that as a disappointment, especially when you go out and you win the first 6 of your 7 games. When you look back at the very beginning of the season, weren't always perfect those first 6 games, or the first 6 out of 7 that we went. Not everything was always perfect. But at the end of the day, the team went out and they found ways to win soccer games. And it had a lot to do with, obviously, the crowd at Orlando City Stadium being a new stadium and having that. It absolutely helped the team. Now, about the disappointments with the season in general, what really is the amount of opportunities Orlando City had after the summer window was over to get themselves back in the playoff position. You know, Dom's first game at home against Columbus was a pivotal match that could have, again, those 3 points at the time would have helped us get back into the playoff position. Even though Columbus was a man down in that match. And you go forward, games like FC Dallas was a game we needed to win. We couldn't do it. 0-0 draw, games at Portland, it was another must win. Laid an egg. In the Eastern Conference this season, you know, like I said, after the summer window, the other teams weren't doing us any disservices. Every week, it seemed like we still had a chance to get back into things, but we were never able to find the way to do it. So it's where does the blame go? You know, is it the players? Is it the atmosphere? Is it the coaching staff? I'm not sure, but there were a lot of opportunities for Orlando City to find themselves in a playoff position. In game after game after game, we found ways to not help ourselves out.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good way of putting it. You go into the offseason now, there's certainly a lot of question marks. You know, you look out there today, and this was, you know, I guess an addition. They'll have another opportunity with that game against Puerto Rico in a couple of weeks. But, you know, when you look at, you know, who's probably going to stay, you're talking about Kyle Larin. You know, when you look at locks as far as the starting lineup, you're looking at Larin, if he's not sold, Dom Dwyer, Yoshi, Jonathan Spector, Scott Sutter, and Joe Bendik. And then outside of that, there's really a lot of question marks. So when you head into the off season, where do you put your priorities for this club?
You know, that's such a difficult question, because what I get out of what you just saying, I mean, you named five players who are locks next season in the starting lineup. I mean, thinking back, it kind of reminds me of what OCB does every year. Is they play, they have a couple of good players, and then they get rid of the rest. And that's going into the next season where you're like, oh, well, you know, we have four or five players who can, you know, impact us in a positive way going into next season. I think this team has talent. I do. I think there's talent on this roster. In terms of the winter window, somebody in the central attacking midfield is an absolute must. Replacing Kaká is extremely important. We need somebody who's going to be able to create in the final third. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that this team has been lacking this season in general, is getting into the final third, making the proper runs to find openings and spaces in the box to score goals. Looking back, there have been a lot of bright moments this season with the back line, especially at the beginning of the season. The back line played very, very well. The central midfield at times played very, very well this season, but it seems like once we got into the final third, we just hit a spot where we couldn't get it done. So obviously having somebody up there in that attacking midfield role to really spread things out and create opportunity is probably the most important thing going into this winter window.
I think I have to agree with you there. You know, obviously they need an attacking midfielder that can facilitate and get the ball to a Dom Dwyer and a Kyle Larin, because that's been their biggest issue. And, you know, I said this on the Orlando Soccer Show this past week, you know, watching that game against Columbus, you sit there and you watch this team. It's their, you know, the one thing that kept popping over in my mind over and over again was that, you know, they're getting the ball up to the final third, but they're not getting it past that. They're not getting it through that wall to, you know, ultimately create good opportunities, because there's no creativity in that area of the field, and nobody's doing anything special to make plays happen like you see Atlanta's do, you see Seattle's do, Toronto's do, and it's not there. And then center back, getting somebody to pair with Jonathan Spector is a major, major need right now, because I do think that Tommy Redding's a good player. I think Jose Aja is a good player, and I think that Leonardo Pereira is a good player. However, none of those three were able to cement themselves back there this season, and that's been a big problem for Orlando City.
No, absolutely. I mean, Jonathan Spector, as you say, is obviously a lot going into next year. He's been our most solid center back, and he's definitely proved himself. And it's kind of crazy that Orlando City's not able to solidify themselves in on the back line. And this goes back since we started, you know, three seasons ago. That's one area we have really struggled with, which is interesting, because going into the season, I actually think it was something that we finally had a lock on. You know, I was satisfied with the bringing Jonathan Spector. Obviously, we had that guy from Bordeaux, Sertich, who we were going to get originally. However, ended up being Spector. But I think he proved himself very well. I think he made a good move coming to Orlando City, and I think he's going to be very important for us the years to come. Next to him going into the season, I thought Tommy Redding might be the guy who's going to solidify himself. He's young. He's got a lot to play for. He needs to prove himself if he wants to find himself at the national team level at any point in his career. And I think he had good moments, but as you said, it just wasn't enough to solidify himself next to. So I have to agree with you. I think a center back pairing with John important to this offseason. And one thing that we can't forget going into this offseason is Kaká coming off the books. And obviously, we're going to make a lot of changes outside of Kaká. So there is going to be money to be spent. There's no question about it. So now it's finding where we're going to spend that money, how we're going to break it up, what positions are we going to put the most emphasis on. But one thing that we do have is flexibility. Ability to do whatever we see is best fit for this roster going into next season. So at the beginning of next season, obviously, Alex Lytow has went out and said Jason Christ will be our coach next season. There's uses because this window is the window we have. And I think we're going to hopefully do a very good job of bringing in some good players who can help us out.
Yeah, and you know, I think the one thing that's important to remember with Tommy Redding that could play a role in this next upcoming preseason is he missed the end of that, and then I believe it was like a couple of games into the year because of the U-20 World Cup. So he didn't have that opportunity to win a spot, and you know, when he came back, it was already Ozeaha that was the starter next to Jonathan Spector. So I think he's a good player, and I think he's somebody that you can put in a back line and connect him with Jonathan Spector and really build a good foundation there. So hopefully he goes into preseason next year with some opportunities. But so Orlando City obviously didn't do too hot, but Minnesota, on the other hand, Jason Kreis or Adrian Heath's new club, they finished just a couple points behind Orlando this season. So I'm just kind of curious, and I'm just bringing this up for the sake of hashtag hot takes. But firing Adrian Heath, looking back on it, Orlando City's gone from 44 points to 41 points to now 39 points. Great move or no?
No. And this is a completely change from where I was at when they fired Adrian Heath. Because when they originally fired him, I was okay with it. Because looking back at that season, it was a loss against Dallas, if I'm not mistaken, on the road. I believe we lost 4-0, and that was the match that he ultimately lost his job after that. Yeah. But at the time, we had won 4 out of our first 16 games. So at the time back then, you look at things and you'd be like, we're really not performing that well. You win 4 out of your first 16 games. This team's not responding very well to what's being put out on the pitch. So they ultimately decided to make the move. What I don't like seeing is, and this is where I kind of have that regret of Adrian Heath being fired, if you're going to give somebody time, loyal to a coach, Adrian Heath was the coach to be loyal to. And going into when we started in MLS, it was originally a 3-year plan. Los Rivas and Brian Rochez weren't DPs for in the moment. They were players we could build on and within that 3-year plan. And hopefully over time, we could, you know, not only make the playoffs, but hopefully make deeper runs in the playoffs. Once that plan was fully put into effect. But I think what we saw happen was, you know, we performed okay in the first season. We brought it into the last match where, unfortunately, we weren't able to make the playoffs. But there is when, you know, he started feeling the heat. And I think that's where that 3-year plan kind of started giving way. I thought he was a very good GM. I was disappointed to see him go. I think that Carnero thing was a gigantic mistake for Orlando City. A 3-year plan trying to win now, and that doesn't always work. So you get rid of Heath, and you bring in Jason Kreis, who had a half season last year. We go into this season with limited expectations, but I think expectations greater than what we ultimately did, and we flopped. This was not a good season. So are you loyal to Jason Kreis because you want to give him 2-3 years to get the job done? I don't know. But looking back at Adrian Heath, yeah, that was a mistake. We should have kept him.
All right, one last question before we wrap things up here. Mickey Callaway, the new Mets manager, how are you feeling about that?
Ooh, God, you hit me with surprise on that one. I'm feeling all right. You know, the Mets have talent. They've had talent. Didn't work this year. But next year, World Series, maybe not. But I think we may have a playoff berth next year.
Going to have to compete with those Yankees. Best team in town. The Baby Bombers gotten it up. Game 7 the other night. They're coming back next season. All right, Ty Rothschild, the Paramore pundit on Twitter. Thanks for joining me. We'll hope to get you back on the show. At some point in this offseason, we could talk a little bit more baseball. How's that sound?
Absolutely, Gavin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. As always, you guys can follow us on Twitter at Fourth Official Show. We are on iTunes at Orlando Soccer Show. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate, comment, do all that good nonsense. Until next time, for Ty Rothschild, I'm Gavin Eubank. Thanks for tuning in, and try to have a better weekend, guys.